is the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, Governor.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. What a pod.
What a pod.
What a big pod today. You're going to have your Pink in Paris code word?
Are we going to say it now?
No.
Oh, you have to go through the podcast.
It's better for time spent listening if we hook him in and, you know. It's usually the first segment anyway, so you haven't got long to wait.
Okay, I just want to let you guys know, I would be willing to tell you now, but Cliffo has decided you've got to keep
all
listening.
All about those downloads and length of listens, baby. Also on the pod today, Dr. Jeffrey Warner, a microbiologist live in studio. After his visit today, I don't know if he'll be returning.
No, and there was an interesting moment you'll hear at the beginning of our chat where he decided, based on sight, which one of us he wanted to shake their hand. And I think
that's what you took out of this chat?
That's just what sums up who I think he thinks is dirtier.
Okay. Well, let's let science do the talking. Also, it's another WTF Wednesday. A bit of that action coming up. It's Cliffo and Bronte podcasting on Listener. Righto, righto. Day three. Third code word.
Yep.
Little tweak, though. You don't text it anymore.
No, no more texting.
Because you broke the system, guys. Well done.
Delete that mobile number from your phone book. I know no one likes to delete numbers. You might need it one day. You don't.
I was going to say, that's brutal. We're just going to delete, are we?
Delete it. Like, there are so many numbers in our phone book we don't need.
You never want to be in a breakup with Bronte Langbrook. You're just deleted.
Callous. Just cut it out of your life.
The window is still going to open after 9 at different points during the day, but instead of texting the code word, you call through with it on 13 10 60.
That's a number we know and love.
Because the good old phones
keep
never
that.
Let us down.
Exactly.
Code word.
Code word today is carry. Like Tommy and Carrie.
Carrie.
C-A-R-R. I.E., not carry, which is how some people say it.
It sounded like you said curry, like what you'd get at an Indian restaurant.
Yeah,
it's not a butter chicken.
Carry.
And you have to spell it right, guys. So it's C-A. Oh, no, you know, it's a text now, so it doesn't matter. I mean, it's a phone call now. It's not text.
Still, it's just important to be able to spell.
But didn't they drill it into us? Like, make sure you spell it out.
Yeah, it still says spell it out, so I'm going to.
Okay, well, C-A-R-R-I-E, but you've only got to say it now.
Yeah.
So call through when the ticket window opens after 9, 13, 10, 60. You could be there.
Make sure you say it right. Don't say carry. Carry.
Carry.
Carry
is your code word.
Yes.
It's Pink in Paris. Pink's new album, Trustfall, out now. Here she is. Pink and So What. Cliffo and Bronte, it's 24 to 9. Trending next.
This is WTF
Wednesday.
Well, right now, your early morning little teaser, WTF, just to get you in the mood for WTF Wednesday.
Pique our appetite.
And today, I'm going to tell you the story of Raw, the most dangerous movie ever made.
Ooh.
A big shout out to the Just the Gist podcast on Listener, because everything I'm about to tell you is regurgitated from Jacob to Rosie straight from that podcast. So thanks, guys. But Raw was this movie made in 1981. It was supposed to be a comedy starring Melanie Griffiths.
It's tough when movies are supposed to be comedies.
Yeah. When that's the headline, something's gone wrong.
Yes.
And also, like, to be a comedy movie that went on to be the most dangerous movie ever made.
Yeah.
How, you might ask.
Something went wrong.
So Melanie's parents were, you know, Hollywood wankers, essentially, and they came up with this idea of making a movie where a family, like an all-American family, shares a house with big cats. So we're talking lions and tigers and leopards and panthers and you name it. So Melanie Griffith's dad goes to the big cat people and they're like, mate, this is never going to work. There's no way.
No.
Like, you can be in confined spaces with these big cats. They will tear strangers to shreds.
They wanted to use real cats, real big cats.
Yeah, well, there was no CGI or whatever. It was 1980. Well, it was 70s because it was released in 1981.
Oh, God.
They said the only way you could possibly do it is if you actually raised the cats from
infancy.
From babies or whatever.
Oh, my
God. They call them cubs.
Yep.
So Melanie Griffith's dad went, okay, that's what we'll do. In the end, they ended up in a house in Los Angeles, not like in the middle of nowhere, with 132 lions, tigers, leopards, cougars, jaguars, and a 6,000-kilo elephant. What could go wrong, you say? Everything. Over the course of filming, which was supposed to take 6 months, actually ended up taking closer to 5 years.
Oh, my God.
70 members of the cast and crew were maimed by the big cats. The director of the photography was completely scalped.
Oh, goodness.
One of the sons, because the only way they could do this was to actually get their own kids to appear in it. So the couple and their three kids, Melanie Griffiths was one of them. One of the sons was bitten on the head so deep that he could feel the big cat's teeth scraping along his skull. And afterwards, she doesn't talk about this much, but Melanie Griffith, she needed facial reconstruction surgery because of the
attacks
from these, but not even attacks. Like sometimes a cat just thinks it's playing with
you. Oh, yeah.
And doesn't recognize its own strength.
Oh, my goodness.
Also, through the whole filming, they think the bacteria from cat feces, because it's quite awful cat feces, that bacteria made everyone so, so sick. And the bacteria was actually getting into their, you know, into their bodies and their brains. And it was just completely awful. You might say going through all that, well, at least that, you know, became a Hollywood movie and probably made some money.
I was going to say box office performance.
You would be wrong.
Oh.
It came in at a cost of $17 million to make Raw, and it pulled in $2 million at the box office, reporting a loss of $15 million and will forever go down in history as the most dangerous movie ever made.
Oh.
And the best thing is you can just log on to YouTube and watch
That's
it for
what
free.
I was going to say. Wait, is it? Yeah, so it's
on
available.
YouTube, mate.
Great.
So they're not even making money off it now.
I was going to say, no streaming took it up.
Sorry, Melanie Griffiths. Alpha Bucks. Alpha Bucks will play again tomorrow, Thursday, the 25th of May. That $1,000 cash on the line, Bronte Langbrook.
You made a request that you would like another winner.
I would like that request to be filled.
We had one last week, haven't had one. You'd like two in 2 weeks. All right.
Well, we're on the side of
course.
We want, you know, it's not our money.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't really like the guys who do the accounting here at Southern Cross Austereo. So let's spend their money.
That is a dangerous game to play considering tomorrow's payday.
Are they the ones who pay us?
Yeah.
I retract all previous statements made in this segment. I love all the finance guys. You guys are the bomb.
You know who you might need to fight your battles for you?
Who?
Catwoman.
That's good.
That's your clue and an answer for tomorrow.
So C is your letter. Catwoman, your free answer for tomorrow's Alpha Bucks on Hit and Listener. There's a story, Lang, is that I think you said you've already seen this in your feed. A lot of people would have seen this in their feeds this morning, of a cafe in Sydney. Mm-hmm. So heading down south in Coogee.
Oh, fancy.
It says the eastern suburbs.
It's
so
fancy. It's fancy. Near Bondi and Bronte and
Bronte.
Yeah.
Bronte, something named Bronte that's fancy.
Yeah, I know. Who would have thought?
Not familiar with that idea. A little cafe called Little Jack Horner, and it's made news because of the outrageous price it is charging for a side of avocado.
Yes, I have seen this as the headline. I don't know how much was charged for the slice of avocado. I just know it was avocado involved.
Get ready. Like, everyone, hold on to your butts.
Oh, no.
Because avocado, like smashed avo for a long time, has been blamed for the reason that, you know, certain generations or whatever will never own property.
Yep, I've accepted it and I still
have
my avo for brekkie.
Because we like to go out for our smashed avo or whatever. So Little Jack Horner in Coogee has made the headlines for charging for a side of avocado a whopping $10.90.
Oh, my God. For a side?
$11 for a side. So you will get your, I don't know.
Eggs Benny.
Eggs Benny.
Yeah.
That's the go-to, right? Oh, I feel like a bit of avo on that as well. Yeah, we can put like a dollop of avocado on the side. $10.90.
Oh, my God.
I've paid less for... Go to Macca's.
But even
you pay less,
like,
for a whole breakfast.
Exactly. Like sometimes a brekkie wrap and a coffee combo is about $10.
Yeah. $13.10.60. Got us thinking. We want to put it out there. What sides should still be free.
Mm.
So have a think. Maybe it's something that you used to get for free once upon a time.
Yeah.
But now it's charged for. Or maybe it's there's always been a bit of a fee.
Yes.
But you feel like it should be just included in the price.
Like sauce. Yeah. I think it's a bit cheeky when people want to charge you for sauce if you like are looking in your menu.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is just to get the meal and then when the waiter's bringing it over, be like, oh, can I get sauce smart. With that? Then they don't charge you. That's 70, my secret.
Like at the bakery, 75 cents.
What?
Is the most I have ever been charged. I mean, I think the going rate these days is, what, 50 cents
Ooh,
for a little squeezy
God,
sauce?
God, even that seems like a lot.
Mine, 75, I nearly swallowed my tongue.
Mine is green tea at sushi trains that used to be for free.
Yeah. You can get charging for that now?
They don't even offer it anymore.
It's so water.
Bring it back.
It's hot water with a bit of leaves thrown
good
in.
Good for you, darling. It's good for you. I want green tea for free again.
13, 10, 60. Have a think. And this, by the way, we're just having a whinge.
Of
like
course.
If you're a business owner, we get it. Like it's tough for everyone.
Yes.
But let us just have a little whinge Wednesday, guys. Mm-hmm. 13, 10, 60. What sides, so not a main dish,
no.
but what sides should be free?
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree $10.90 for a side of avocado. You can keep your avocado, Little Jack Horner.
Only could you do that, I tell you that much.
Little Jack Horner sat in the corner, ripping the customers blind. 13, 10, 60, putting it out there, what sides are currently being charged for that you believe in your heart of hearts should be free?
Yes.
13, 10, 60, Alicia's here, mate. What is it for you?
Yeah, so a standard pub meal of steak, salad and chips. I got the steak and chips, but they wanted to charge me $10 for the salad.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, the salad is always just like the last thing you eat on the plate and you're not going there for a salad, but it should still
no.
be there.
Like $10 for a bit of rabbit food, Alicia.
It is, yeah.
Like, I agree.
Not worth it.
I'm with you, Langers. Like the salad's the last thing you go to.
Yeah.
But I eat it. Like it's nice to have something to break up all of the fats and carbs, you know? But $10. Sorry, Lee.
Oh, my gosh.
It's crazy, mate. Emma's next. Emma, what side should be free and just included?
Lemon, when you get fish and chips.
Okay.
You weren't charged for lemon,
were
you?
What are you being stung for lemon?
$1.50 a slice for lemon if you want lemon with your fish and chips.
Hold on, not $1.50 a lemon, $1.50 a slice?
A slice, yeah. Yep.
So arguably a quarter because they cut it in half and then you won't, the slice is only a quarter.
Yeah.
That
is. Yeah, maybe like a six or an eighth.
Yeah, I was going to say, depends how stingy your fish and chip shop is.
They're already charging you, so pretty.
Andrea, what side should just be free?
Well, I'm actually going to Mount Buller later this year in July with my family and it's not food related, but the accommodation wants to charge us for clean sheets. So
no.
They want to charge us $10 per person, cash, for clean sheets, and apparently it's something they've done since COVID. So heaven knows what they were doing before COVID.
Right? But also, if you don't pay the $10,
yeah.
What are you greeted
just
with?
Just have the last guy's sheets, please. Thank you.
We've been talking this week so far about how dirty we as a team are, and it started off with producer Alicia drinking a moldy drink bottle, drinking from a moldy drink bottle. We're finding out more and more dirty things that we are just living in and around, but we brought in a professional who can actually say the word now, Cliffo, associate professor Jeff Warner from JCU. You are a microbiologist, so you are the one that studies this dirtiness that we live around.
Well, that's right. I mean, I particularly study the things that actually cause disease.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So whether someone is dirty or not, mm-hmm. right, to some extent depends on all sorts of things, right? And not all germs are bad, of course, and
no.
a lot of germs are good, right? But I'm on the lookout today for things that define dirty, right?
Right.
Where do our mouldy drink bottles rank on that list?
Mouldy drink bottles pretty clearly mean that the drink bottle hasn't been washed, right? So that tends to speak about character of the people with a mouldy drink bottle, right? which could clearly lead to other things, right?
Yes.
So if you don't clean your drink bottle, right, it might get mouldy because it stays wet and organic material accumulates. Obviously, if that like character of behaviour, you know, includes things like not washing hands after going to the toilet or some other sort of neglectful behaviour, then indeed broad issues of dirty could be associated with that. Yep.
I feel like I am probably the winning team member of the three of us so far because when Dr. Warner came in, I didn't shake his hand. You went straight in.
No.
And we know that is not in an accepted practice anymore, so.
Dr. Warner said he didn't want to shake your hand. He actively shook my hand.
I don't know what that says
I'm
about
clean.
Me, Dr. Warner.
Well, I made the call. I made the call. And of course, as a, well, as a scientist, right, you shouldn't actually assume something before you test it, right?
True.
So one needs to be slightly careful about that. But we'll find out my choice was correct or not.
So you're going to swab some everyday items that myself, Bronte and Alicia use on a daily basis.
Yep.
You've got to take this away and incubate it. Will it be possible for you to come back when that's done and essentially hand out gold, silver and bronze, like the dirtiest to the least dirtiest?
Very happy to do that, and I'll bring the germs back so you can see
germs.
Them. Yep.
What kind of germs are we really not wanting to find?
Yeah, so we're looking for fecal coliforms.
That's the
big words right there. He's dropped the fecal.
They're the fecal word. Yeah.
Where would we be most likely to find out of the things you're going to be testing, headphones, water bottle? I'm guessing it's the mobile phones.
Mate, things you touch all the time.
Yeah.
Right? They're the things that we'll certainly be looking at. So for you guys, you're using keyboards a lot.
Yeah.
We all use our phones like all the time. I mean, who doesn't go into the toilet and do your Twittering or your whatevering, right? And that sort of stuff, right? So then your phone comes out and then you use your phone. Yeah,
that's a nasty cycle. Oh.
Well, it's a nasty cycle. The thing is you can't see them, right?
Yeah.
So you don't know you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do this week is we're going to show you them, right? So you can see in reality. But, you know, just so we all know, the vast majority of germs are good. And we need them, right? So we're actually made up, right, of more germs, that is more germs in and on our body than our actual cells of our own body, right? So, and they're part of us, right? And they do us a lot of good. But they need to stay where they are, right? If they move around a bit, right, then that can be a problem. So the gut germs are good in gut, but they're not good on phones or keyboards or your mouth, right? Or your little skin lesions that you might have when you scratch, right, and all that stuff.
What we might do is we might go to break.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go and
shower,
bathe in a litre of sanitizer, and then we're going to come back and we'll pull out the swabs, we'll set up the little mini lab as we determine who is the dirtiest. Is it Cliff O'Bronte or producer Alicia?
Come dirty to me. Dr. Jeff Warner from JCU. He is a microbiologist, associate professor. He is the man that is here to tell us how dirty we are or how dirty we will be, because right now it's time to take some samples. Isn't that right, Jeff?
That's it. So we're going to swab some stuff and we're going to plate the swabs out on some agar plates and then incubate those and let's see what grows up.
And how long will the incubation take?
Well, we're going to keep them for a week.
Okay.
Just because molds, like the moldy stuff, fungi, take a little bit longer to grow, but bacteria overnight. But but a few days,
So obviously it's a clean swab and it's a clean plate. So it's clean slate.
Clean swab, sterile swab, right? And it's a bit of sterile saline, just a bit of salty water, just to moisten that, right?
Yep.
So I won't just a little bit. And I won't.
Oh, it's fine.
Damage stuff. Yep.
So
fix the germs up easy.
So what are we thinking? Phones.
Let's do phones because Jeff just mentioned that phones is probably, as we would assume, one of the dirtiest things that we deal with every day. And we're going to start with all my samples. I'm patient
dirtiest
zero.
First, you know.
So would you like my phone?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Can I just put a...
Yeah, of course.
Did you say that the front of a lot of modern phones are actually antibacterial?
Yeah, the actual front protector thing you can get to protect your front, it's actually a bit antimicrobial.
Okay.
So what we're going to do, we'll do that too. We're going to do the whole phone, right?
Swab on the sides.
Okay, so that case
and the back.
I bought about a year ago.
Yeah.
It's probably come off once or twice, but.
Your little thing that you hold.
Oh, my pop socket. Yeah.
Jeez, you're really getting in there, Jeff.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
Really...
I'm not mucking around. Right.
I think that case was actually white when I first bought it. So the fact it's brown now is concerning.
Right. So that's the phone.
Okay. The second thing we'll be taking sample of is water bottle.
Yes, this is what got the whole thing started when we learnt producer Alicia was drinking moldy water.
Yeah,
and this would be an item that we do not clean, I would say, nearly frequently enough, Jeff.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's quite common, isn't it, right, that people just put water in their bottle and then just top it up and don't.
I put something different in my water bottle. So this is green tea, lemon and water.
Okay.
This is what I drink every day during the show. And I don't think I've ever watched
as long as
this
it's not
bottle.
Methylated spirits, I think the results will probably not be hampered.
No, that's all good. Oh. Can I take the lid off?
And oh, yeah,
the inside?
Of course. It's
yeah, get right in there, Jeff.
Get right in there.
Deep in the filth.
Okay, what were we going to do as well? It was microphone, wasn't it?
Microphone and keyboard. Let's get right up in Bronte's microphone over there,
if you
please,
mind,
Dr. Jeff.
We have what we call pop shields over the microphone, but this is what I talk into every day.
Yep.
Is it okay if I leave it on and you swab that?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, please. Just
leave it on and I'm going to be quiet. I want to hear the swab doing its thing.
Is that?
Oh, can you hear that?
Is that? That's the swab. That's the noise the swab makes, is that right? Is that bad?
Oh, sorry to everyone putting up with that.
No, it's good. It's science.
The sound of Langbrook filth being scraped.
Stripped off.
Off a microphone.
Oh, no.
Yep, yep.
Okay, and so the last thing that we're going to test is a keyboard. Now, this is something I think we all are scared to clean out, and you can do it when you tip it upside down and smash it out. I haven't done that with this keyboard because it's a shared keyboard. So if this comes back really dirty, I want you to know it's not just me touching this one, okay?
Blame the Arvo.
That's right. Blame the Arvo, guys. You know.
Yeah.
You can come over here.
Okay. All right. Get on in there. Tell us, as you're doing it, Jeff, tell us where you're actually scraping the...
So the enter button's arguably the one that's been hit the most, right?
Right.
So, and I'm going to hit the as many of the keys as reasonable.
Space bar would be another offender,
space
wouldn't it?
Space bar, for space sure. Bar. There's a bit of dust on here, I have to say. So,
backspace, Bronte.
Yeah, but I was going to say, the exit button, the escape button would be a frequent...
Escape button, what else?
For Bronte.
Issue.
A delete.
Page up. Space, yep, did all that.
Well, what we might do is we might go to break here. We'll continue to let Dr. Jeff do his thing.
Yes.
Everything you've just heard him swipe of Bronte's, he's going to do the same for me and for producer Alicia.
Yep.
And then what, sometime next week?
Yeah.
Jeff, we'll have a result.
We sure will.
Can't wait.
Who is the dirtiest?
We'll find out.
In the team. Dr. Jeff Warner, he is an associate professor of microbiology at James Cook University. Thank you very much for your time, and we'll have those disgusting results in a week or so.
My pleasure. See you then.
And you beat Bronte.
We need to ask you some questions.
Okay. 13-10-60 if you ever want to play. The jackpot's at $100. Sid wants to win it today. Sid, tell us about this piece of metal that was stuck in your mouth once.
It was just below me at bottom lip, between my bottom lip and my chin. It was, I was working on a truck many years ago and a piece of metal flew off the chisel and hit me and I thought I just bled, but it sort of took a little bit to heal and then when each time it all but healed, it'd play up again, and one day I decided to put a magnet against it, and sure enough, it was a chunk of steel.
I love the journey. So it stayed there for a while,
and then I decided one day just to go into the bathroom and make sure I got rid of it, and went through a bit of grit and that, and came out. It was like a shark tooth.
That's probably the point there where you go and see a medical professional.
Yeah, no, not Sid, though. Sid is his own doctor.
That's a worry when magnets are sticking to your chin.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, hey, good story, Bronte. Marinate on that as you head into the soundproof booth. And Sid, for you, mate, I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock, okay? You good to go?
Yeah, giggling.
All right, mate, let's do it. Good luck. 30 seconds. Your time starts now. What is the name of the high school in the musical Grease?
Pass.
What does UFO stand for?
Unidentified flying object.
What media company uses Usain Bolt in their ads?
Media company.
Yeah.
Optus.
True or false, your hair and nails are made from the same material.
True.
Who starred alongside Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born? Out of time.
Oh, I had his name.
Don't stress yet, Sid. We'll see how it goes.
The brontosaurus will walk over me.
She may. But we hey, we're going to do it nonetheless. You hold there, Sid. You never know. Could be having an off day.
Sid the sloth.
Sid the sloth.
Sid the sloth.
Ice Age, right?
Yeah.
Great film, great film.
The Last Dandelion.
30 seconds on the clock.
Okay, yeah,
all right?
Serious.
Enough of your imitations. Yeah, sorry. Let's get your serious game face on. Time starts now. What is the name of the high school in the musical Grease?
Rydell High.
What does UFO stand for?
Unidentified flying object.
What media company uses Usain Bolt in their ads?
Media company? Disney?
True or false, your hair and nails are made from the same material?
True.
Who starred alongside Lady Gaga in A Star Is Born?
Bradley Cooper.
That is... not even 30 seconds, but it is five questions. Let's go to producer Alicia and see how you went.
So the high school in Greece is Rydell High. Bron's got that one correct. Sid passed. UFO stands for Unidentified Flying Object. Both of you got that one correct. The media company Usain Bolt is in the ads is Virgin, which neither of you got correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Virgin.
Something to do with speed.
As in air? Travel?
Well, yeah, but they own the media company as well.
They were a media company. Media, well, yeah, they had the record company and all that. Yeah.
Bloody trick question.
Wasn't it, Sid?
Don't blame the question, Sid. Your hair and nails are made from the same material. That's true. Both of you got that one correct. And the last one, Bradley Cooper starred alongside Lady Gaga, which Bronte got correct, and Sid passed.
So 4-2.
Could have asked a sniper question, I would have got that.
Oh, no.
A what?
Sniper?
Did you say sniper?
Yeah. That Bradley Cooper, what was America's best?
American Sniper. Yeah. That's a good film.
So kid Sid was like, I'll kill people for cash.
Yeah.
It's a mutton one.
Bye, Sid.
But I'm a sniper, guys. Bye, Sid. Thank you for playing.
I mean, honestly, he's lived his life with steel in his chin. I wouldn't be surprised.
Mate, you know you're in trouble when you're walking past fridges and...
He's like, what's that? What's in The Incredibles? That's what I imagine Sid's chin is like, Mr. Incredible. Yeah,
good on you, Sid.
Thanks, Sid.
You can call us back anytime, mate. A tight ass's worst nightmare happened to me on the phone just yesterday, Bronte.
Mm.
Shout out to all the fellow tight asses out there.
Yeah.
There's more of us than you would know.
Mm-hmm.
I love to pinch a penny where I can, and it's clearly rubbing off on my wife, which is a great thing. And it involves our upcoming winter holidays. So we're going to have a week off during the school holidays.
Yep.
And my family and I have started up a bit of a winter holidays tradition where we go to the same Big Four caravan park, you know, lots of slides and stuff and all that for the kids.
Perfect.
We don't have a van or anything, so we just stay in a cabin. Started 2 years ago, and I actually rang to make the booking, got through to a lovely woman named Ayla.
Shout out, Ayla.
And she's like, oh, Cliffo, you know, hear you on the radio or whatever, I'm going to give you the locals rate, even though I live outside the postcode. And that was really worthwhile. And I don't know why I did it. Maybe it was the tight ass in me kicking in, but I wrote her name down on the notes app on my phone.
No, I like that.
Ayla at Big Four
does
good deals. So anyway, sort of this time last year, just before the winter holidays, my wife is like, let's go to that Big Four again.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'll call Ayla.
Yeah. I've got my person.
Got my person, mate.
Mm-hmm.
So I ring Ayla. I'm like, hey, mate, it's Cliffo. Back again, winter school holidays or whatever. And she was like, oh, Cliffo, I'll give you the locals rate again.
Ayla.
So last year was the second year running.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Ayla, like this it's a couple of $100. This is good saving, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're talking about our upcoming holidays and all that. In the last few weeks, I say to Michelle, I know what I do. I'll call Ayla. And like I said, worst nightmare, I ring the Big Four caravan park yesterday. Another lovely young lady answers and informs me that Ayla hasn't worked at the caravan park for about 6 months.
Did she get fired for giving too many people the local discount?
Ayla, I appreciate the discount. Thank you for sacrificing your job.
So yesterday during the show, I said something so innocently to you that has sparked what has now been a 24-hour debate that we need the lovely listeners of our show to help with. During the show, I just said to you, how much should I put in for Dylan's going away present? So if you don't know.
Oh, he's leaving work, by the way, not leaving Bronte.
So I met Dylan here at work.
It was an office romance.
And he is finishing up his time with the radio station at the end of this week. And so our lovely office manager, Janaya, is organising a farewell present for him. Sent an email to everyone except him saying he's finishing up. There's a card on my desk. Oops, spoiler. if you want to put in.
I signed it yesterday. Did you? All I wrote was thanks for making Bronte bearable.
Yeah, that's the best gift he could have given. And let me know how much you want to put in for the farewell present. And so I was replying back to Janaya to say, oh, I'll be happy to put in. And you, and when I said to you, yeah, how much should I put in?
Yeah.
You.
Zero. Nothing.
What?
Zip.
What?
Zilch. You're giving Dylan the greatest gift of all, your love.
Yeah. Like,
you are literally giving him the best years of your life. I actually think it would be kind of weird for you to put in for Dylan's going away present because he's not going away from you. If anything, you're going to, you know, there's going to be more of Dylan because you guys don't really hang out at work or whatever.
No, no.
I just think, and then Alicia said off the air, which I agree with as well. She's like, you either have to put in nothing, and that's what team I'm on, or you have to put in the biggest amount.
No!
Because how would it look if just, you know, Johnny Come Lately blowing or whatever is putting in more money than you are for your boyfriend? So I think you put nothing in.
My mentality is I see this more as like just my co-worker Dylan leaving work, which is how he started.
The co-worker who I sleep with.
I think it's more like I met him here. I have a lot to thank this office for bringing him into my life. If the least
then give the office a donation.
The least I can do is give a little bit of money, a little bit. The most thing, that's crazy. If I'm going to give the most money, I should just buy him his own present. I was going to go in at about $20.
You're already beating me. I put in 10.
But I guess we're so divided on this. I haven't decided whether or not I am going in. I still think I will, but...
No, don't.
13, don't. 10, 60. Should I have to contribute to my boyfriend's work going away present?
What's he going
to
do? Leave you over $20? Like...
I can't believe you don't think I should.
No,
Do you think I should have to get him something else?
No.
No, great.
Nah.
So you think nothing?
He's just moving, like, you know, he's not leaving town or anything. He's just doing a new job, same sort of field. Yeah. Like, it's not that big a deal.
No. So our lovely boss, Jergs, has just heard what we were chatting about on the radio regarding whether or not I should put in for my partner Dylan's going away present because he also works here.
That's debatable. For starters.
He arrives here.
In Dylan. Let's think about
he
it.
He arrives here in the morning.
Yes, he does.
And hangs about.
Makes a lot of coffees for people.
Gets involved in TikTok videos and socials.
Yes, yeah. he does. Yep. Makes us go viral.
Yep.
But my mentality, Jergs, and you're the GM, so it's all up to you. I met him here at work. This is a work gift.
I apologize for that.
Yeah, well, you'll get my therapy bill. I would have thought as a co-worker leaving, not just my partner, I should put in for his going away present.
I don't know. I reckon he should take you to lunch instead.
I think
Dylan
Bronte
should take you to lunch.
Owes him nothing. And I said no contribution at all, money-wise. But sign the card.
I tend to agree. Just sign the card. Yeah. Run off the coattails of everyone else.
Yeah. That's what Jerks has been doing.
Yeah.
When
everyone
leaves
for years.
And I did send Janaya, our office manager, who is coordinating the present, two ideas that he wants for the present. And I know... they're not that expensive, so maybe they don't even need my donation.
Is it a brush?
The long hair.
He's got two more days here. You're not getting any coffee.
Oh, mate, I don't care.
That was the Cliffo and Bronte podcast.